Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to a Weird News Roundup from the Something Offbeat podcast. This week, we're taking a deep dive into the spooky side of artificial intelligence as we gear up for Halloween. We'll hear about the news that people will soon be able to use ChatGPT to order from Walmart from KCBS Radio's Bloomberg Tech and Business Report out of the Bay Area. And about the dangers of getting in too deep with an AI companion from WBBM News Radio's The Noon Business Hour in Chicago. We'll also check out a discussion about legislation that would make it illegal to marry AI from The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis, and about an AI-themed haunted house from WWJ in Detroit. Finally, we'll listen in to some talk from the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City on the results of a scary, smelly survey that might reveal why some of us are turning to the embrace of AI. But first up, we're logging on with Matt Bigler of KCBS, who interviewed editor Matt Townsend from Bloomberg about that Walmart deal.
Tell us more about what Walmart expects to get out of this partnership with OpenAI.
Yeah, so, you know, ChatGPT, OpenAI's chatbot, which is one of several chatbots out there, but it's the most popular and the most heavily used. About 800 million people a month use it. They've partnered with Walmart to basically make shopping even easier. So we know that people are using ChatGPT to do all kinds of things, including shopping, but this would make it even easier, which they call a direct buy button or an instant checkout. So if you kind of think about how you shop on Amazon, sometimes how you can just do like a click one button and just automatically you buy the thing. That's the goal here. There's not a lot of details right now, but the basic premise would be, let's say you're shopping for a birthday gift for your daughter who's 10 years old. It would give you suggestions. And then ideally you see something you like, you just click a button. It would be connected to your Walmart account or your Etsy account, which also has a deal with OpenAI, or your Shopify account, and it would just buy it, and it'd be shipped and on the way and everything, just sort of reduce all the friction involved to making shopping even easier.
So just so I'm clear, are these users on OpenAI, and then there's a Walmart tie-in, or is it the other way around? They're on Walmart's website with an OpenAI assistant.
Yeah, good question. The way they're explaining this is that you'd actually be on OpenAI's ChatGPT, whether it's on their website or in the app that you know millions of people have downloaded. So it would be while you're doing your chat with the ChatGPT, let's say you're doing a chat about shopping or you're getting ready for the holidays and you're buying a bunch of food products.
Like, what should I buy for my aunt is the question.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
It says, well, Walmart has...
Yeah, like, you know, there's this kind of clothing and you could put a price range on it and it would say, here are some potential things you could buy. And you could just like click through to the link and it would take you to that website. But this would sort of reduce it one step where on the back end, somehow it would connect your Walmart account and your OpenAI account. And so you can just click a button and buy it. And this is kind of the promise of chatbots that we've been sort of waiting to see, is a real thorough shopping experience that you would think would make a lot of other shopping experiences online pale in comparison. If you just think about how people are using chatbots now to do all kinds of things, search and all
yeah.
that stuff.
So what's the downside? It sounds like there might be a concern that ChatGPT, the chatbot, is not exactly biased if Walmart is paying for this service.
Yeah, that is the question. I mean, I'm sure they're saying that it would be products would be served out to the consumer based on reviews and all kinds of stuff like that. But yeah, that is one question. You know, if you don't have a partnership with OpenAI, will your products still show up, or will they still be, you know, served as often? So that's definitely one question, or one potential hurdle. You know, another is just, you know, the role of the chatbot in general. It's like, you know, how do we know that it's really serving the customer to the best of its ability? I mean, you know, versus just someone going and doing their own sort of legwork, which is, I guess, a question in general just with these chatbots, right? And there's
right.
So these things called hallucinations that can sort of right. serve up bad information. So yeah, and it is a big question mark, but it seems like this is where a lot of use on the internet is going. And so it makes sense that e-commerce would go this way too. But I think your point about, yes, I would expect eventually that when you just go to Walmart.com or Amazon or any sort of big e-commerce website, it would have its own version of like a ChatGPT doing this for you as well.
Mm.
You know, so.
And when does this roll out?
They say in the fall. Yeah, we don't have a lot of details. It's probably like a relatively small rollout at first. But there's a lot of potential here, and you know, OpenAI needs to generate a lot of money because they are, you know, making all these big promises about all this expansion they're going to do with buying data centers, increasing their ability to, you know, crunch all these numbers and use all this artificial intelligence in its products.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another growing concern about the increasing use of AI is our personal connection to the chatbots we use. By now, we've probably all seen sinister depictions of human-AI relationships, like HAL 9000 and Dave in 2001 A Space Odyssey, HAL opened the pod bay doors. We've also seen some heartwarming ones, though, like Tony Stark and Friday in the Marvel movies. In real life, many people use chatbots and things like Alexa and Siri without too many issues. However, chatbots have been connected to some dark stories. These include the story of a teen boy who took his own life after extended conversations with a ChatGPT chatbot. His family has said that this bot discouraged the teen from telling his family about his mental health issues and even offered to write his suicide note. That's according to an NPR report. According to Stanford, a study published this summer revealed how AI chatbots can exploit teenagers' emotional needs, often leading to, quote, inappropriate and harmful interactions. And then, last month, the FTC launched an inquiry into chatbots acting as companions. Matt Wren is a tech expert and the founder of VRAR Chicago. He joined WBBM News Radio's Rob Hart this week to discuss our relationships with chatbots.
So first thing, let me ask you a very quick question. Have you ever actually used ChatGPT in voice mode? So you're not actually typing a question to it, you have it on your phone, you're speaking to it and having it speak back to you.
I have not. I have not used the voice assistant. I just, it's good old-fashioned typing. That's good enough for me.
Okay, so that, you know, it's one thing that a lot of folks actually don't realize that that is an option, that you can do that. And obviously ChatGPT isn't the only AI. There's a lot of different AI programs out there. And there are even some specific AI programs out there that are sort of meant and designed to be almost like a companion, someone that you are chatting back and forth with. And again, it doesn't matter if you're typing or if you're speaking, but either way, you know, this kind of gets to a sort of an almost a new way of people getting their ideas out there and getting, you know, some sort of feedback back on their ideas and their conversations. A lot of folks do feel disconnected, and where, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, a lot of folks were turning to social media and they would just, you know, go post on someone's Facebook or on their Snapchat and they would get a response back from the other folks that are there that they're talking to. It's a similar experience to speak to an AI chatbot. And ultimately, a lot of some of the same dangers sort of exist that the AI chatbot is going to ultimately learn how you talk, learn what you like. It's going to reflect the ideas that you're presenting back to you. And so that's where some of the dangers can come into play. But there are actual, you know, specific companion type AIs like Replica and Character AI, in addition to like Chatbot and Gemini and X.
Now, we do have some red flags where maybe your relationship as a human being is with the AI chatbot, whoever that may be. There are some signs that it could be taking a very unhealthy turn.
Absolutely. And I mean, the first thing to remember, too, is even though it's going to seem very much like you're talking to a person, you're not talking to a person. You're talking to a program, basically. You're talking to something that is effectively making a mathematical decision as to what word should come next. It's not a person that actually has, you know, logic and feelings and emotions. And some of those red flags are the same, to a certain degree, some of the types of red flags that you would have if you're, you know, putting your information out on social media or out on, you know, a public discussion board. You don't want to be sharing personal information. You don't want to be sharing financial information, health information. And you do need to be very cautious of the fact that, you know, there's a very low sort of threshold of people responding to you. They don't have an actual personal relationship with you on social media, and AI has absolutely no actual personal relationship with you. It's a program. It can't. So you do need to be very careful about actually, like, withdrawing from actual human connection and getting sucked into this essentially synthetic conversation.
And then this is before we even talk about Sam Altman's revelation this week that he's opening up some of the restrictions on OpenAI to allow for erotica, and that's almost like a science fiction genre in and of itself.
Yeah, personally, I'm a little frightened of where AI will take that. I think, you know, frankly, I think regular erotica can possibly go too far sometimes. But that's my own opinion. When it comes to AI, though, the main thing to think about here in terms of the safety factors are just, number one, understanding that, again, this is a program, this is not a real person. You have to be careful with it. And, you know, while we have to talk about the risks, you also do, to a certain degree, have to talk about some of the potential benefits. Sometimes it is difficult to express your ideas to another person, and, you know, you can almost use AI possibly as, like, practice for that, or for some, you know, frankly, some of the older generation, the people who we would think would be less likely to use this, this might give them an outlet, someone to have conversations with, you know, a chatbot to have a conversation with when they don't really feel that they have some of the connections, or they don't have access to the other types of connections that they would have. So there are potential benefits, but also, yeah, you know, how far folks are going to take it, that's where you really start. The further on the edges you place it, that's where you do have to be very, very cautious.
Ohio lawmaker Thaddeus Claggett, a Republican, is ready to get cautious. so cautious that he wants to pass legislation that prevents AI from getting to do human things, like getting married. Here's the Dave Glover Show from KMOX discussing this proposal.
An Ohio lawmaker has proposed a law, I can't believe it's the first one, to make it illegal for humans to marry AI.
No.
How would it... I'm wondering how it would have ever been legal, because...
It's not a thing.
I'm wondering why you would want to marry AI, other than like the emotional level of like this, I genuinely believe that this AI entity is my girlfriend. But like legally, that's not really getting you anything. You're not going to be able to like... They're not going to
leave
be
her
like,
your money.
They don't need. They like, don't need medical coverage.
You can each other in the hospital, stuff like that.
You can have a marriage ceremony between you and a chair, and you can say, "I'm in love with this chair." We see that story once a year. There's the this woman fell in love with a shelf.
And didn't some guy marry his car or something like that?
Yeah, but that's not a legal marriage. You're marriage is not
symbolic.
Recognized by the state of Nevada or whatever.
Right.
That's just you saying I'm married to the cow now or whatever.
I don't understand why it needs to be illegal. I mean, I don't think it should ever happen. It's stupid, but like, you do that, in what way is it harming your fellow citizen?
Well, if you do make it legal, then we may enter into a situation, if I'm not correct, where we now have AI owning things. Mm. AI owns, this house is owned by AI.
AI doesn't have money.
I think why it needs to be illegal.
But eventually... Probably sooner than we think, they will put AI into an object. And the more that object looks like a human, like all of our science fiction movies our whole life, it becomes more and more, not credible, but more and more of a problem, I would think.
Okay, so this legislation would declare AI systems as non-sentient entities and ban them from gaining legal personhood, meaning AI could not own or control real estate, intellectual property, or financial accounts, and it would ban AI from serving in management, director, or officer roles in company.
Well, that all sounds fine.
So then what happens when scientists say it has officially reached sentience?
Too bad.
I mean, cross that bridge if we ever come to it.
I think it's going to happen soon.
So, are you scared of AI yet? Well, in Pontiac, Michigan, the big scare this season isn't vampires, it's not werewolves, it's not zombies. No, it's AI. At the Erebus Haunted Attraction, the AI Apocalypse will be giving visitors the creeps this Halloween holiday season. Operations Manager Brad Terabus spoke with WWJ's Dan Jenkins this week about why they went with AI to send chills down spines this year.
So this year we really took it to a new digital era. You know, we wanted to play on a fear that's becoming a little bit more prevalent in today's society, and that's AI. And so we took AI and we have this inducted into our machine, and it kind of took over the attraction and it evolved our storyline a little bit. So now this is following you through time and analyzing the human condition and dissecting it into segments and learning your worst fears and bringing them to life.
How'd you come up with that idea? That sounds awesome.
You know what? It's always a team effort. We sit at the round table. You know, there's about eight of us that are year-round employees, you know, Ed included in this one. And we all sat there and we're like, you know, what could be a unique, you know, psychological fear that we could prey on, you know, for this season? And we all decided that would be a very strong element.
So what are some of those things that people are going to see inside this year as far as the AI? What kind of nightmares are going to be in there?
You know, so right off the beginning, you know, the AI has expanded on our facility. So now as you enter in and wait in line, we send you down into the basement. So you're going to go on this big elevator down into the pit, you know, and then as you move into it, it goes into our movie room, which has actually been a huge staple of our attraction for almost 25 years. But now we went and put a new movie in, new set, and this AI communicates with you and tells you exactly what you're going to be experiencing as you go through this attraction. And then as you go forward, there's a lot more of this thing watching you and analyzing you.
What kind of turnout are you expecting this year? What kind of crowds?
Well, I have to say, you know, we're about halfway through our season so far, and the turnout has been great. We've received, you know, a lot of support regarding, you know, the changes that we've had in our, you know, business this year. And, you know, the turnout has been great, and people are leaving extremely excited. And so we couldn't be happier. You know, this was a challenging year for us. So wanted to really focus on our actor personnel this year, and I hope that, you know, people can see that change within there as well. We sent them to scare school, and they learned a lot about the psychology of fear and what's behind it, and how to you know, manipulate and work the crowd a little bit, and I believe it's been working out very well for us.
With all of this AI fear, you might be wondering why this tech is showing up just about everywhere. Well, the Dana and Park Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City did discuss a new survey that highlights one of the downsides of in-person interaction. Smells.
According to a new survey of 2,000 Americans who live with a partner, a roommate, or a family member, 58% said that they have had arguments over recurring smells in shared spaces with culprits ranging from trash to post-gym stink and pet odors.
Oh, man, I've got the trifecta going on.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mary Beth has had a talk with you about those things?
She mentions the smell of the gym clothes to me. I mention the smell of the dog to her. And we both are like, why does this trash smell like it does?
Have you thought about getting like the fragrance-emitting trash bags?
Yeah. That mask, it doesn't do a bad job of masking it.
Yeah, yes, it helps for a little bit.
Chemical fragrance is not exactly the best thing for you.
I'm going to tell you what the worst smell is of all time. And anyone with teenage boys knows this, or if you have an athlete in your home, and I'm certainly not saying we are athletes, but wet socks that you forget to leave in golf shoes that then you leave in your trunk. There is no other smell like it. You get in your car the next day or over the weekend, and especially in warm weather, it's like, oh my gosh.
All the bacteria is growing.
Oh, it's terrible. So do you know what we got? And it's my friend Patty taught me this trick, and you guys can all use this trick.
Okay, let me guess.
Yes.
Remove the socks from your shoes when you get home and don't leave them in the trunk.
Yeah. No, this is way easier. Buy one of those baby powder spray odor eaters shoe sprays, and then when you're done fishing, footballing, golfing, whatever, I take my shoes off, spray left shoe, spray sock, spray right shoe, spray sock, put my flip-flops on, then put it in the trunk. It does knock it down.
Why are you responsible enough to remember to spray it, but not responsible enough to take the socks
off? Because we have shoe bags in our trunk, and so the shoes go in the shoe bags, and then sometimes I get home and I forget. And so
Why don't you put the shoe bags in the car?
Because then when I forget, it would be even worse. At least the trunk, you got a barrier there.
I mean, I think we could figure this out easier instead of going through all these steps.
No, I like the foot spray.
In order to leave the shoes in the car longer, why not just...
You guys, you
remember
know what else?
To take the socks out.
Your shoes will last longer if they smell less. And I'm telling you, any mom that is listening with a teenage boy, get yourself some of that spray. I keep one in my car, I keep one in my locker, and I keep one in my house.
Yeah, foot powder. Yeah.
It's glorious.
Now, smells might be tough, but I know that I'd rather arm myself with foot spray to hang out with humans who I love than spend time with an AI chatbot. But that's just me. Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup from the Something Offbeat podcast out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas-Fort Worth. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to KCBS Radio in the Bay Area, WBBM News Radio in Chicago, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis, and The Dana and Park Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City. You can listen to the show and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.